Morning, everyone. Good to be with you this morning. And we are having a slight break, as you know, between series at the minute. We've moved from Nehemiah and we're heading towards Advent. But in between times, we're having a few standalone sermons and just looking at certain things. And today is very, very significant for us as a church. I don't want to underestimate the significance of what we're looking at today. It is massively important, folks, what we think about the church. What we think about the church matters. Why does it matter? Why does it matter what we think about the church and how the church is structured and the things that have been laid out for us in Scripture about the church? Why is that important? Why can we not just come here on Sundays, do our thing, have a good time, everybody goes home, everybody has a great time, and we just come back next Sunday, we do the same again, or we go to home group, or we do whatever, and we just do that, and it doesn't matter about structures, it doesn't matter about things. It matters because this is the bride of Christ that we're talking about. This is His bride. It is important. The church, as you know, and we continually say this here in Cornerstone, one of the main ways in which it's described in Scripture is the bride of Christ, and so it's massively important how we think about the bride of Christ and what has been laid out for us in Scripture in regards to that in form of structure. Why does the church have structures? Why does it have elders? Why does it have even deacons that we're talking about this morning? It is for its flourishing. It is for its good. It is for its flourishing. And it is for the bridegroom's glory. That's why these things are in place. That's why they're here. That's why they're here to guide us. And so this morning we're looking at this role of deacon. In Scripture, what we see and what we believe in Cornerstone Church is that there are only two offices in the church. There's the office of elder and there's the office of deacon. And I want to explain something here at the start, why we only see those two offices. Because maybe you come from a different church tradition than this one. Maybe you come from a different background and they have maybe different church structures. Think of the Anglican system where they have bishops and they have archbishops and whatever, all those different things. In the Presbyterian structure, where they have elders and then they have committee, teaching elders. And no matter what tradition you have come from, it probably has a different structure than the other one. But really, if you simplify it down, which I want to do this morning, all you see in Scripture are two offices, elder and deacon. The word elder is the same as the word pastor. The word elder is the same as the word pastor, is the same as the word bishop. They all mean the same thing. And so there are only two offices which we see in Scripture, elder and deacon. Elder is completely plural. And I am a wee bit blue in the face saying this to you, but I think I need to say it again. I need to continue to say it, and I always will say it, that the role of elder is one role. Completely equal in authority and every single way. So I am in equal in authority as Ali is equal in authority, as Marcus is equal in authority. I am not above them. They are not above me. We have no more say than one another. We are completely equal. I have been set aside to this role as teaching, as a teacher who, or pastor who's in charge of teaching, that I have been set aside for, which is a good grace to me and a good grace to the church. Because it means that I can focus on that, but it does not mean that I have any more authority than those two. None. And so we have elders, which we see in Acts 6 here, which we will look at in a second, has a specific role, and then deacons, which we see specifically, has a specific role. And so there are only two offices in the church. I want to say something else before we get into the actual qualifications of a deacon and what deacons look like and how that functions. I want to say this, if you're in here this morning and you have no aspiration to be a deacon and you think you can just zone out for the next 35 minutes, whatever how long it's going to be, if you think you can zone out and just will not listen to this because it's not really going to affect me, what I want to say to you is this, and I say this before I speak on church leadership all the time, the characteristics that you will see here in Acts 6 and in 1 Timothy chapter 3 are the characteristics of a Christian. They are the characteristics of a Christian. Every Christian. Every Christian. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, these characteristics, these qualifications should apply to you. They should apply to you, and they should apply to you in ever-increasing measure. Stumbling forward as that may be, in fault and in failure, there should be an increasing measure in your life. And I want to say that to you, so don't zone out. Don't zone out. This is important for you as a believer if you are following Jesus. And so the first thing I want to pick on this morning is from Acts 6 here, as Ali read from us from Acts 6. That's the first time we see this, really, this role of deacon appear. The word deacon is not explicitly in the text, but what is going on here in Acts 6 is that the church in Acts grows exponentially. It just explodes. The gospel is preached, people are saved, they're brought into the church, they're brought into the family, and it just blows up. And so the apostles are dealing with all sorts of stuff. Can you imagine what it'd be like when Peter's first sermon in after Pentecost, and 3,000 people, more than 3,000 people get saved? We think we have problems with space. It would have been nuts, absolutely nuts. 3,000 people coming to church, coming into the church, and with all their problems and all their failings and all just that mixed mash of people would have been absolutely insane. But here we have the apostles in Holy Spirit wisdom. There's a problem that occurs. The widows, they come forward with a problem that they're being neglected in the daily food distribution. And so there's a problem arises and it comes before the apostles, and the apostles say, okay, how are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to sort this out? And so they summon the full number of the disciples. The full number of the disciples. And this is where we see this concept of deacon come from. The word deacon in Greek literally means servant. It means servant. All right? Now, again, every Christian, every follower of Christ is to be a servant. Jesus says in Matthew 20:26, whoever wants to be great in the kingdom must become a servant. So again, it is across the board, servant. But the word deacon literally means servant. And here in Acts 6, church grows, the apostles are swamped with pastoral scenarios, everything going on with praying. And what happens is these women come to them and there's a problem. And so they say, right, okay, let's get the whole church together and let's sort this out. How are we going to move forward? How are these needs going to be met? And interestingly here, we see very clearly what the role of elder is as well. We see in Acts 6 what the role of an elder is. The role of an elder is to prioritize prayer and ministry of the word. Prayer and ministry of the word. It's not a massive role. It doesn't have 1,500 things that you need to do. It's very, very simple. The role of an elder is to pray and to minister in the word. Now, what does minister in the word mean? It means that in all our dealings, all our shepherding of people, we use the word of God to do that. If myself, Ali, Marcus, ever start shepherding you with anything other than the word of God, we have got a problem. We have failed in our duty. Elders are to be devoted to prayer and ministry of the word. And so what are deacons to do? Deacons are to look after the practical issues of the church. The practical issues of the church. And so the whole church is gathered and the apostles lay out what they are looking for in a deacon, in someone who will serve. They lay out what they are looking for. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit. Good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Those are the three things. Three things. Good repute, full of the Spirit and wise. Those are the three things that the apostles were looking for in deacons. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Those three qualifications. We will flip over to 1 Timothy to see what those qualifications, just more clarification on those qualifications. But that's what we're looking at. Good repute, filled with the Spirit, and wise, having wisdom. That's what we're looking at. But there's a couple of things I want to clear up first before we get into this. And the first is this. In the next week, we as Cornerstone Church will be having a vote on deacons. I'll explain the practicalities of that at the end, but we will be having a vote on deacons. So, I know you're asking the question. You're probably not even thinking about it. But, why vote? Why vote? In our elders, we don't vote. Cornerstone Church, as long as Ali and myself, Marcus, are elders, we will not vote on bringing in elders. Why? What's the difference? Why do we not vote on elders, and why do we vote on deacons? In Paul's letter to Titus, he says, go and appoint elders in every town. It is the elders' responsibility to appoint elders. You never, ever in Scripture see a vote on elders. Doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But you do see a vote on deacons. And you see it here in Acts 6. They gather the whole assembly of the believers together. And it literally says, pick out from among you 7. Pick out from among you. So there has to have been some collective voting sort of going on there that will make that happen. That's the difference. And that's why we're taking a vote. And so we're just trying to simply be as biblically based as we can be. We will not do voting when it comes to elders, but we will do voting when it comes to deacons. That's the first thing. Second thing I want to clear up this morning before we move into the qualifications is this. Can women be deacons? Your eyes just went, whew. Ollie's like, can't. Name it. Don't answer it. Let me give the answer. From a Cornerstone perspective, the elders in Cornerstone have said that yes, women can be deacons. Now, I want to give you the reasons why. I have at least 4. All right? So I want to list them out because this is important. As an eldership, we have decided that in Cornerstone, yes, women can be deacons. And here's the reasons. 1, the word itself, deacon, can be either feminine or masculine. So the word itself in the Greek doesn't make a difference. It doesn't distinguish. Okay? It can be masculine or feminine. 2nd reason, 1 Timothy 3:11, that was on the screen there, where it says, the wives, if you look at your explanatory notes in your ESV or your NIV, it will say women. It can also be interpreted as women, not just the wives of. It can be interpreted as women. 2nd reason. 3rd reason, Romans 16 verse 1, Paul, writing to the church in Romans, says, consider your sister Phoebe a deacon. Romans 16 verse 1, consider your sister Phoebe a servant, a deacon. It's the same word, all right? And so that's why we think. 4th reason, final reason, deacons are not held responsible as the authority in the church. They are not the authority in the church. Elders are the authority in the church. They are the guardians of doctrine. They are the teachers of doctrine. And so we see that the main difference between the qualifications of a deacon and the qualifications of an elder are, in an elder, it's apt to teach. You don't have that with deacons. You don't have that. It's not a qualification of deacons. That's the main distinction. And that's why we think, those are the 4 reasons why we think the role of deacon are open to women. And so let's get stuck into these qualifications. The first qualification is that they have a good reputation. A good reputation. And you may think that's really obvious, but it's the same if you go back in 1 Timothy, if you go back to the qualifications of an elder, and it says they are above reproach, it's the same thing. They must have a good reputation. And so all the individual qualifications we find in 1 Timothy 3 cover this point. If you turn over, if you're in Acts 6, please turn over to 1 Timothy. And we'll look at these qualifications. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. As I said, those 4 things can be summed up in the one phrase that is used to describe elders, above reproach. They are to be of good repute. They are to be above reproach. Now, some of those things are pretty self-explanatory. Some of those things are pretty self-explanatory. Like double-tongued. We know what double-tongued means. We know that is someone who does not do what they say they are going to do. Like, if, for example, if on Friday I had have said that I want to win the gold card on Friday night and not followed through with that, I would have been double-tongued. But I did follow through with that. And I did win. I'm only saying that. But double-tongued, someone who will say one thing to your face and turn around and say something to someone else. Or will promise to do something and not do it and not follow through with it. Double-tongued. We all know what that means. We all know. That's pretty clear what that means. We all know what addicted to much wine means. It's pretty obvious. Not a drunkard. Not someone who is on repeat getting drunk. It's pretty obvious. There's one here, however, that may or may not be pretty obvious, and it hit me up the face this week. And it is the first one. Dignified. Dignified. What does it mean to be dignified? The word literally means this. Showing a composed or serious manner that is worthy of respect. Showing a serious or composed manner that is worthy of respect. And folks, I just want to say this to you and be as honest and open as I can with you. I was convicted severely when I read that this week. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And this is the reason why. And if I am to be a lead servant here in Cornerstone, an elder, I almost must be a lead confessor of sin here in Cornerstone. And the reason it hit me like a ton of bricks is because I know there have been times when my speech and my actions have been less than dignified. Less than dignified. And so I want to apologize for that. And I want to ask for your forgiveness in that. And I want you to help me to grow in that. Dignified. A deacon must be dignified. And if a deacon must be dignified, surely an elder must be dignified. Dignified. A serious manner worthy of respect. And so I think it's massively important when we're thinking of deacons, when we're thinking of you, the membership of Cornerstone Church, will vote on deacons within the next week. When you put your tick beside that name that you think of as a deacon, are they dignified? Dignified. Not double-tongued. Not addicted to much wine. Not greedy. Last week we looked at Judas, and one of Judas's main flaws was that he was greedy for gain. He was greedy for gain. He took out of the money bag. When we look at these qualifications of deacons, and we look at this thing of good repute and of good reputation, I don't want us to think that if someone has ever fallen in these ways, then they can't be a deacon. Or if you have had one incident in your life where you've come across someone and they haven't been dignified in that one instance, then they can't be a deacon. What we need to bear in mind is this an ongoing pattern of sin in someone's life? Are they continually undignified? Are they continually addicted to much wine? Are they continually greedy? Are they continually double-tongued? Is it a pattern that you see before you put that tick beside their name? These are the things that we need to consider. It is not that they have never fallen or will never fall, but it is a pattern of sin in their life. A pattern of sin. None of us are perfect. None of us will ever be perfect. But is there a pattern that's going on in someone's life? Folks, I want to bear down a wee bit on this one. And as I said, these qualifications are Christian qualifications. They are follower of Jesus qualifications. For all of us, are we dignified? For all of us, are we double-tongued? For all of us, are we addicted to much wine? For all of us, are we greedy for dishonest gain? We all need to consider these things. We all need to consider them. But the first qualification of a deacon is that they are of good repute. Good repute. Second thing in Acts 6 we see is this. That they are filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Now this may be, again, this might be the most obvious thing in the world that you would think that a deacon should be. And what this means is literally that they are a Christian. That they are a follower of Jesus. And you may think that must be, John, we know that. Why did they even say that in Acts? Why did the apostles, when they get together, say that this must be people who are filled with the Spirit? Why did they even put that on it? I have served in two church committees, folks. And there are people on those committees, and there's more Spirit in that music stand. That's why it's important that we make the definition that a deacon must be filled with the Spirit. Because we do not want people who are not Christians handling the practical affairs of Jesus' bride. That's why we say filled with the Spirit. And that's why it's a qualification. That's why it's important. And that is the first thing to say. They are to be filled with the Spirit. They are to be a disciple. But second thing to say is this. What does it mean to look like you are filled with the Spirit? What does it mean? When we say, when the apostles get the crowd together and pick out someone from among you who is filled with the Spirit, what does that look like? What does that look like? I tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like someone who says super spiritual things. It doesn't look like someone who sounds spiritual. It doesn't look like someone who can come out with all the lingo under the sun but not actually mean anything. That's not what it looks like. It looks like someone who displays the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it looks like. Someone who is filled with the Spirit is someone who will display the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what someone looks like who is filled with the Spirit. That's what someone looks like who is filled with the Spirit. Deacons are people who will attend to any number of thorny issues within the church. They will handle things that are difficult. And they need to be people who are full of grace and are able to deal with issues and address issues in God's Spirit, in His Spirit. They should be able to keep in step with the Spirit and not become conceited, as it says in Galatians 5. And so when you are thinking of people who are meet these qualifications, number one, of good repute, two, filled with the Spirit, look for people who display the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look for people who display those things. That you could say in their life, yes, I see that. When we have our vote and we get the results of that vote in and we present the five deacons to you that we have come in with a vote, when we present those people to you or their names, you should be able to say, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Definitely. I can see that. If there is one person, two people, three people who we present to you and you're going, don't see it. Don't see the fruit of the Spirit. Don't see love. Don't see joy. Don't see patience. There is a problem. And this is why, folks, may I say to you that from now until next Sunday, and when we are going through this voting process, it is massively important that you spend much time in prayer over this. Much time. It's not a popularity contest. It's not just a tick box. It's not just who you think would do a good job. It is those who are filled with the Spirit. Those who are filled with the Spirit. It is important. It's important. Thabiti, I love this name, by the way. If you haven't heard of him, look him up. He's excellent. Thabiti Anyabwili, he's a Nine Marks guy, says, when deacons are filled with the Spirit, they do not see themselves in competition with the elders, but rather they see themselves as complementing them. If the fruit of the Spirit is present in a deacon's life, it will give them a right view of the role that they hold. They will not be competing. They will not be elevating themselves. They will not be, you know, positioning for authority. The primary role of a deacon is to assist the elders in their role of praying and ministry of the word, to take the practical responsibility off the elders. And if they are filled with the Spirit, they will see this role in its right way. In its right way. So the second thing we're looking for, folks, is those who are filled with the Spirit, displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Third thing is wisdom from Acts 6. The third quality of person that we're looking for and the apostles look for is wisdom, good repute, filled with the Spirit, and wise. Wise. The Bible puts a lot of weight on wisdom. And it has a lot to say about it. Proverbs 4 verse 5 says this, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Talking about wisdom there. And she will keep you. Wisdom will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Solomon. When God comes to him in 2 Chronicles 1, God comes to Solomon and asks him, what do you want me to give you? I can give you anything. It's God at the end of the day. I can give you anything you want. What does Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. Wisdom is, dare I say it, the most valuable gift alongside two things, most valuable gift that the Christian can have, wisdom and humility. Wisdom and humility. The Bible puts so much weight on those two things, wisdom and humility. And so the deacon is to be wise. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Very practical definition of wisdom. I love the way J.I. Packer sums it up. He says, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. More or less, it is to see what's best and see the best way to get there. Wisdom is to see what's best and the best way to get there. That is what wisdom is. I thought about throwing my Brian O'Driscoll quote in here about wisdom, but you have the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. You do know that? No? You never heard that one before? Wisdom is key in the role of a deacon. As I said, deacons will have to solve many, many problems. Many, many problems. Often they may have to anticipate problems, looking ahead, seeing problems that are down the road. They will have unavoidable bumps along the way. But to do this well, they will need wisdom. To navigate this path, they will need wisdom. They will need Holy Spirit-given wisdom. When addressing issues that arise in the church, are they slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry? Do they consider the ideas of other people and take them on board? Do they show wisdom not only in arriving at decisions, but in the process of getting there? Are they prudent when it comes to working through things? Wisdom is needed in both the final. I heard this quote the other day and I thought it was fantastic. Wisdom is needed for both the final decision and the process for getting there. Wisdom is needed for both the final decision and for the process of getting there. And so, folks, those are the three things that we need in our deacons. We need people of good reputation who are dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, and not greedy for dishonest gain. We need people who are filled with the Spirit, displaying the fruit of the Spirit. It is on display for all to see. If you ask someone outside the church what they were like, they would give you a good report about them. And we need people who are wise. Not wise in their own eyes, but Holy Spirit-led wisdom. Holy Spirit-filled wisdom. That's what we need. That's what we need. And so how are we going to do this? What are the practicalities of this? Practicalities are this. What will they handle? What will the deacon's role be? The deacon's role will be to handle things like finance and to help Alan in his role there to sort out the finances and handle the finances of the church. Deacon's role will be to handle the buildings element of the church, all the practicalities of that and what goes into that. A deacon will handle, if necessary, the food distribution, as we see in Acts 6. But it is all those practical things that are going to be taken off the elders and given to the deacon. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. It is for the flourishing of the body of Christ. And so we are welcoming this. We want it to happen ASAP. And so we are getting on with that process. What is the process going to be for voting? Well, as you know, there's a members' meeting on Wednesday night. And again, can I encourage you, if you are a member of Cornerstone Church, or if you know members of Cornerstone Church, which you do, because they are part of your family, get them there and be there you also. Get them there, because you will need to be there. We are going to hand out on Wednesday night voting lists for deacons, with all of our current members' names on that list. At this stage, you do not have a choice while you take your name off that list. At this stage, all the members' names will be on the list. Then, between now and next Sunday, we want you to be in prayer over this, as I say. We want you to be praying. We want you to be seeking God for who God has laid on your heart. As I say, it's not a popularity contest. It's not your mate. You know, I can't make it any more clear than that. It needs to be Spirit-led. Because this is a serious role within the church. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hand out those lists next Wednesday night. And we are going to expect those lists to be in next Sunday. I'll explain more about this on Wednesday night at the members' meeting. But over the next week, we are going to do this. And so if you can't be there on Wednesday night, speak to me or speak to some of the elders afterwards. We will get you a list. And if you can't be here next Sunday, we will figure out how you will get those lists back to us. And then we will go through the vote and we will see who are deacons. Who can be deacon? Who can be a deacon in Cornerstone Church? Those who fulfill the qualifications of Acts 6 and 1 Timothy 3. That's who can be a deacon in Cornerstone Church. Two, you must be a member of Cornerstone Church. And three, like every other ministry in Cornerstone Church, you must be in regular attendance of a Connect group for 6 months at least. That's who can be deacons in Cornerstone Church. As I say, we take ministry in Cornerstone Church very, very seriously. We take the role of elder very, very seriously. We take the role of deacon very, very seriously. And so those are the same qualifications. One, fulfill the qualification, the biblical qualification. Two, be a member. Three, be in a Connect group and in regular attendance for at least 6 months. Those are the people who can be deacons. And so we will work that out. We will get that sorted over the next week. Again, I want to encourage you to please be at the members' meeting if you're a member. And folks, all this said about deacons' qualifications and the practicalities of all this, I wanna finish today by giving you a massive encouragement. Why do we need this? Why do we need deacons? Why do we need elders? Why do we need ministry leaders? Why do we need people to help in the kids' spaces? Why do we need that? We need it because Jesus is fulfilling his promises and is building his church. That's why we need these things. And so it's a great grace to us. It is a fantastic blessing on us that we know that Jesus is fulfilling his promises. We know that Jesus is building his church. And so we need these things. And so I want to encourage you with that today. And I want that to be the place where we finish today. I don't want qualifications to be the place where we finish. I don't want any of that. You can go home and you can think about those things and you can pray about those things. But I want us to finish with our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, firmly fixed on his cross, firmly fixed on what he has done. Folks, as I said often, look around the room. Look around the room. As it says in God's word, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. You've been brought into the family of God, and you have specifically been brought into the family of God here in Cornerstone Church. And that is a blessing to us. And I hope it's a blessing to you. And it's only through Jesus that that happens. It's only through Jesus that you're brought into the family of God, and then that you can be brought into a smaller, more refined family of God on a local level. But this morning, that's where we're finishing. We are finishing with our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, because it's his church. It's his church. It's not my church. It's not Ollie's church. It's not Marcus's church. It's not the deacon. It won't be the deacon's church. It won't be anybody's church. It's Jesus' church. And it is his bride. And so that's why what we think about it is so important. So important. So please be praying. Please be considering. Please be thinking about this deeply over the next week as we go through this process. It is a hugely significant time for us as a church. And it is massively important. Before Ian comes back up to lead us, and I lead us in communion, let us pray first for this. Let's take a couple of minutes just to pray for this role, for these people. We will be electing 5 deacons. So just let us take a moment and pray. Ask the Spirit to bring to mind those who he would want to be deacons in Cornerstone Church. Ask the Spirit to move. Ask the Spirit to give you names. Ask the Spirit to put faces in your head. Ask the Spirit to speak now. Holy Spirit, we do ask that you would lead us. We ask that you would put in our minds and confirm in our hearts those who you have called to the role of deacon in Cornerstone Church. We so want this to be a process that is led by you. We don't want just what we think is right. We don't want just because we think people are right for the role. We don't want that, Holy Spirit. We want you to lead this. We want you to bring people to mind. We want you to do what you do. Thank you for your good grace to us, Father, that you're growing your church. That the promise that Jesus made in Scripture is being fulfilled. That he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And Father, we pray that that would be the case here in North Ryland and in South Down, that you would build your church, and not just here in Cornerstone, but other churches. Breathe Holy Spirit life back into churches where they're where their hearts have grown cold or whatever has happened, Father, just reignite the flame of your Spirit in those places too. It will take all the churches on fire for the Lord to bring revival in this place. And so we pray that. We pray that you would move amongst all the churches. Spirit, we are praying for your guidance. We are praying for your leading. Please confirm in us. And as we pray over the next week about this, who you want. Those who are of good repute, those who are filled with the Spirit, displaying the fruit of the Spirit, and those who are wise. Please lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.